I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills News with a UK twist. It's Thursday. We've had 3 days to actually to get over this. I'm joined by Mark and Robin as usual.
Good evening.
And guys, 0-1, Mark, you're happy, but you're also sad because you got the prediction of a loss right, or are you just still pissed off about that?
I mean, when I predicted us to lose to the Jets, I predicted us to lose to Aaron Rodgers' Jets. I did not predict us to lose to Zach Wilson. I'm not happy that the prediction was right. I don't know. I don't even know where you start with it. It's I think you have to. This is a game like where I was worried that with all the build-up and all the momentum and everything that was going on with the Jets, the fact that it was the 9/11 stuff as well, there was this, you could almost feel this like Jets wave in the start of the game. Mm. And then we didn't start brilliantly. They came in, they had a decent run as well to start in their first series, and all of a sudden, four plays in, Aaron Rodgers goes down, and everything, like the atmosphere, feels like it gets sucked out of the stadium, and all that had been built up over months of NFL narrative, Hard Knocks, every media outlet talking about that this was going to be a team to watch and how good were the Jets going to be. In four plays, it's all gone, and you could feel that like the collective arse fell out of the stadium. And from that point, there should be absolutely no way that we lose this game in any way. Just from the sheer momentum hit that the Jets take as an organization, and from like coaches, offensive players, defensive players, to see them player go down. And they knew, apparently, one of the guys on the sideline, one of the training staff, came over and told Robert Saleh that he'd ruptured his Achilles within minutes of it happening. They knew. And that will be the dressing room. Every single player will know straight away. And after everything that's gone into the preparation for that, that you can't help but be deflated by it. And the fact that we've managed to let them off the hook and lose a game that we had absolutely no business losing, it felt immediately like everything that was bad about us last season, including this game last season, came flooding back again. And I find it so unbelievably frustrating that we keep doing this. It's a game we can't, if we fancy ourselves as being a Super Bowl contender, we can't be losing. We're the only team that's lost to Zach Wilson twice.
Yeah, I think at 13-3 going into halftime, coming out of halftime, you're kind of thinking no Aaron Rodgers and all that, and then all of a sudden they score 16
unanswered 13 points. Unanswered.
13 unanswered points. Then take the lead, and then obviously we push, and obviously there is a pass interference called when it's with Sauce Gardner for us, rather than against him, the handsy bastard. But surely you've just got to try and pick the pieces there, haven't you? And
yeah,
say, what the fuck has happened?
You could, looking back in that second half, have just handed the ball off to the running backs for the entirety of the second half, and we still probably would have won, because we probably would have picked up a couple of first downs and punted, and the Jets only got most of their scores. They didn't really have to drive from very deep because of the number of turnovers. And then the obvious fumble. I mean, we were still doing okay at kind of 13 and 6. We'd sit with 13-6 and we'd still stop them. And then the touchdown goes 13-0. And then it's the fumble. And then it's, yeah, and then the fucking sky caves. Oh, sorry, it's 13-9, wasn't it? Because it was, to be fair, an amazing catch from Garrett Wilson to get the...
Yeah.
To go the 16-13. I think I'm going to have to try and give some contrast because we don't just want to sort of all agree with ourselves. I always like to introduce a tennis metaphor whenever I possibly can. It's often a very dangerous thing playing an injured player on a court because the feeling is, the assumption is, if you may go against a court with a player with an injury, you're going to win. Because all you have to do is just get the ball back and that person will lose. And two things always happen in a tennis match when that does. The player playing opposite shortens the points and tries to hit winners and tries to get out of there quickly. And the person who should be at the advantage changes their strategy rather than playing the game they were before. They then change their game to match the injured player. And I think that's kind of what the Bills did. Now, that's putting aside all of the... dreadful turnovers that Josh Allen had. Let's get this out of the way. I think the fumble happened because he was thinking about the three interceptions. I think the third interception happened because he was trying to make up for the second interception. And I think the second interception happened because he's trying to make up for the first interception. And I think it just...
First interception, you're thinking, why the fuck do you not run?
Yeah. I think there was something very, very wrong with him the night. I mean, not even if you take the interceptions out of it, he did... just a kind of suicidal somersault between two defenders that, you know, you've just seen an NFL legend possibly play his last ever snap. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is out for the year, he may never come back. And if he does, he may not be the same again. And yet Josh is there. He seemed to be having a sort of point to prove in the game, and it cost us. If there is a single silver lining, and there were some positives that I took out of the game, if there is a silver line to take out of all the negatives, is this might be the slap that we need on a week one, similar to a Steelers of 2021, that at least there's no hiding from this anymore.
Yeah, I think it's easy. I mean, you've got the narratives on Twitter. Is that Josh Allen's obviously come out after the game and actually owned it and all that.
Yeah, all credit.
You're still getting the narratives in there of, is it Allen or is it Dorsey? And
Ken Dorsey would be blamed for the storms. He'd be blamed for the hurricanes next week. People just have
and then there was comparisons between Ken Dorsey and Brian Daboll. And is it the fact that what Daboll did in that 4 years with Allen, Dorsey hasn't really been able to replicate.
I saw Daniel Jones running for his life in the Giants game against the Cowboys, and it reminded me so much of Josh Allen running for his life at times as well. And I was saying, all these people who think that Daboll, everything good that happens was Daboll, and everything bad that happens is Ken Dorsey's fault. It's too simplistic.
I disagree with that slightly. Not in so much that, you know, quite clearly, Ken Dorsey can't stop Josh Allen peeling out of the pocket when there's no need to, and launching a YOLO ball, which is what he's playing, right? It seems like he's playing you only live once football at the moment, into triple coverage. Ken Dorsey can't stop that. And I'll get on to Ken Dorsey later, because I do think there are things that he's doing that aren't helping the situation. However, we didn't lose this game because of Ken Dorsey. We lost this game because of Josh Allen. And it's, I hate, because I love Josh Allen, and I hate having to come on and criticize the work that he's done in this game. But I'm getting kind of tired of games where we have this, and no one since Josh Allen entered the league has been responsible, in the last 5 years, something like that, has been responsible for more turnovers in the NFL than Josh Allen now. And I'm getting a little bit tired of this narrative that comes out where he has a game like this, gets in the podium, looks all forlorn, I've got to learn, I've got to do better. There's things that I've got to take away from this. I'm a bit like, fuck me, Josh, I've heard this before. I heard this four or five times last season. you're not a rookie anymore. You're now one of the best paid players in the NFL, a veteran quarterback of a Super Bowl contender team. How on earth are you still that player that doesn't know how you need to do this? Patrick Mahomes had a season where he was forcing it down the field. He worked out that he was hurting his team and he stopped. And they've won like Super Bowls since then because he's learned what he needs to do. I watched the video from someone say that college football is about touchdowns. The NFL is about first downs. And Patrick Mahomes learned that you can't do that. Joe Burrow was a quarterback that was forcing it down the field when he first got into the NFL, mainly because his offensive line was terrible. It's not much better now, but it's he's learnt that the type of play that he needs to put in is that quite, you know, if the hero ball is there, you take it. But that dink dunk 7-8 yards is your bread and butter. And for some reason, Josh Allen cannot get into his head that he doesn't need to force it, especially in a game where you're playing a backup quarterback who have already shown in the first half they can't move the football and they can't really get anything going on offense. As you said, Robin, he could have not played in that second half and we could have not played with the quarterback and run the ball, played wildcat every snap and we'd have won the game. I don't get how we are still here with Josh Allen. Unbelievably talented player. Unbelievably talented. But he's careless and he's selfish when he plays like this. It's unnecessary how he's playing the ball. There's so many better options available. Why is he not taking them? You look at some of the interceptions that he throws. There's one where you've got Dalton Kincaid stood on his own 9 yards.
Oh, yeah, he had players open.
Plenty of players option. Why is he forcing it down the field when it's that? Is he bored? You're like, what? Why does he feel the need to show that he's the man?
Yeah.
What is it about him in his head that he can't stop doing this? And it winds me up. He plays like he has to do it all himself, and he can't. And you can see why. Because if Stephon Diggs was thinking that this is how he is, you can see why he was getting fucked off at the end of last season. Because you're like, stop dicking about. And yeah, I don't get it. There was, like, I think it was the third one where he's got Stephon Diggs was playing in the slot and is running across the field, stood in acres of space. There's a simple little 7 yard pass, get the first down. You don't need to dick about. And he does. I cannot understand how he's doing this.
Because he can do it. And certainly, really prior to the first interception, they were kind of dinking and dunking it a little bit. They were like getting those first. And I was thinking, okay, yeah, this is fun. This is a really good Jets defense. You don't have to necessarily score every time, but you maybe just need to keep the ball and just move it, you know, move it downfield. And they did convert on a few third downs and not score a couple. And Kincaid caught a couple and Hardy caught a couple and Diggs. And I was like, okay, this is not too bad. They're not blasting them out, but that's fine. It is like almost like he got bored, but it's almost like as well, he almost got provoked. And I'm not blaming the Jets defense. I'm blaming Josh Allen because that's maybe what the Jets figured out is if you can almost tempt him. I'm going to use another metaphor, like the gambler in Casino who doesn't want to bet small because he's like thinks he's losing money, so he bets big and ends up losing everything. Because you can't take a small bet. He has to go for a big bet.
But why?
Yeah. This is his sixth year. Like
he was doing was working. We were winning the game.
Yeah, but it's like he can't win small with a small bet. He has to win with a 50-yarder. He has to win with that 98-yarder to Gabe Davis. Like he has to do that. And whether that's a week one thing and we're reading too much into it, I don't know. I'm not quite saying that this is who he is. If this is who he is in week four against the Dolphins, or you know, he's like this again, but this should be some sort of you are on notice now.
It should
brush this off But we can't go, like, yeah, but he did that great play. It's like, no, no, no. You got to be boring from now on.
It's... I find it because like I said, I feel like we've been here before, and this isn't like, you know, this is week one. This is how many times did he do this last season? You look at the Miami game, the last game in the first playoff game.
Yeah,
whoever the hell the quarterback was that we were playing against game. Yeah. Like their third string, whoever it was.
Skylar Thompson.
Yeah. He didn't have a good stat line, but they were well in the game because Josh kept giving them the ball.
Mm. Yeah.
And
Vikings.
It's like, I wish I knew why he seems to favour taking the lowest percentage option available. There was also numerous times, I think someone counted it up, that in this game there were 8 plays that he made where you would classify him as being out of control, as in he's making a play that absolutely shouldn't be made. And that isn't just the interceptions, that's also times where he's left the pocket and started running when there was absolutely no need to, because there was no pressure coming at him. On the few occasions the Jets defense look incredible, by the way. That's a hell of a unit. But there was occasions where it almost felt like he was anticipating that they were going to get through before they actually had, and he took off and ran. Mm. You mentioned it as well, the times where he's running out towards the sideline, and instead of saving his body and running out of bounds and not getting a hit, he cuts back in and almost chucks himself into two Jets defenders for an extra 2 yards. Yeah. And I'm like, why are you making that business decision of a player that is paid what you're paid to a franchise that, if you're not there, has no chance of going anywhere?
Yeah.
I don't understand why he's like goes through his head that he needs to do that. There's options presented to him in games, and so many times at the minute, he's taking the option that is either the most dangerous or most likely to fail. And it's getting to a point where it's inexcusable.
I want to say, obviously, I think we're starting to get into it. There's actually more of a Josh just trying to actually force the issue and be the hero on that. But could you not say that there's a little bit more of a little bit towards Dorsey as well, especially on some play corner? Because you're right, in the first quarter or so, we were doing short, quick passes, and then all of a sudden we go away from it, and then in overtime, second and 15.
Yeah, that's the one that sort of really sticks out. It's not good. I would have been fine with it on first and 10. The only defense that I was thinking of, if they thought that they could get 5 on it, or maybe 6, get to 3rd and 9, and then do a short pass and go for it on 4th down, that they would from 1st and 15. They were going to try and try and use all 4 downs to get the 1st down. And it's being too cute.
The thing with Dorsey for me is where I don't think, like, the play calling is something and nothing. You know, I don't believe that Ken Dorsey dialed up a play that meant that Josh Allen was rolled out to his left and threw the ball into triple coverage. I don't think those interceptions, that isn't what Josh was meant to do. There were options available for him to take a better option. What annoys me slightly about Ken Dorsey is that there is very, very, very little variation. It is Josh Allen in shotgun almost every time. Every time
there's not much under center, is there?
No, there's hardly anything under center. Why is he always in shotgun? Why do we never do any screenplays? We never do anything because it's these screenplays, play action, we never do it. It's these plays that make defenses potentially bite on a run that gives your quarterback a little bit more time in the pocket that he doesn't seem to get with our offensive line. But it's every time it's either a draw play or it's Josh Allen passing the ball. And it makes it really, really, really obvious. And that's, I think, what hacks me off about Ken Dorsey more than anything else. We've gone from we obviously drafted Dalton Kincaid because they wanted to go to that 12 personnel, two tight ends, two wide receivers. And they did. They've gone from the team in the league that did it least amount, that formation last year, to the most in what week one this season. 63% of our offensive snaps we were in 12 formation. But again, every single time we were two tight ends on the inside, two wide receivers on the outside, and no one else that does 12 formation as much as that keeps it that bland. Quite often the tight ends will split out wide and you'll have your wide receivers in the slot. Sometimes you'll mix and match and go, you'll swap it around. It's two tight ends in the middle, same position, two wide receivers, wide right in position if you're in 12 formation. And it makes it easy. It's easy to plan against because it's the same play every time. So I don't like that. Isn't the reason Josh Allen threw interceptions? Josh Allen threw interceptions because he's got fluffer brains. But I don't think that Kendall is still for me playing this. There's a route that my receivers and tight ends are going to run. Let's hope Josh Allen's good enough to find one of them. And if he can't, or he doesn't see the easy option, he goes for this hero Josh ball and quite often gets intercepted. I just think the lack of invention for me is what hacks me off about Ken Dorsey.
I mean, there were a couple of decent plays that he drew up on there that were executed, but you're right. I think you've got all these weapons. I mean, you got Harty involved quite a bit. Obviously, you've got
Cook early on. After the first quarter, what else did he do?
Yeah. I didn't hear much from Sherfield, either.
He didn't catch a ball. Wasn't even targeted.
No, he did.
But it's one of those. I think, again, it's the whole. It goes back to the whole Dable thing, but you just look at it, and it's you can't put it on the coaches. You got to play what you see in front of you. So if they did draw up, say, a screen pass and all that, but it didn't there, obviously Josh is now improvising, and that's where the danger comes, in my opinion.
My question is now is Ken Dorsey, because there's too many examples of it last season, more so than I remember there being in the good Josh years after he started off, obviously very like very much raw. When he got good, there was a lot less examples of him doing what he had. And my question is Ken Dorsey strong enough to be the man that can take him aside and say, you've got to fucking cut this out, Josh? Because I think Brian Dable probably was. He was someone that was quite willing, I think, to get in his face. And I remember there being an example in a game. I can't remember which one it was, but there was a game where there was a lengthy spat between Allen and Brian Dable on the sideline because he was putting in a performance like this. And he was chewing him out for a good few minutes. And I just don't see that from Ken Dorsey as someone who is strong enough to be the one to get in his ear and be like, or at least to be able to figure out a way to get him to stop doing it. Because he's not proven yet that he can do that.
Well, on his press takeaway he had today, he actually did say that he tries not to get fired up on the headset when talking to Allen. So he just tries to calm him. Calm.
Well, that's clearly working.
yeah, can't argue with results.
But I mean, I want to just look on to a couple of positives from this. Obviously, Christian Benford's one of them.
Yeah.
And this is an interesting stat. Those two cornerbacks, Benford and White, they played 100% of the snaps.
Yes. Yeah.
Never rotated out. And also another interesting stat, the whole offensive line played the 400.
Didn't hear much from Torrance, did we?
I think he was the highest, according to PFF, I think he was the highest rated Bills offensive lineman, which is saying much because it was about like 70% or 70. A 70 rating.
Spencer Brown's an abomination, man.
Hey,
Spencer Brown is an abomination. why we have done absolutely nothing to address right tackle other than pick up a desperation journeyman, albeit ex-first round pick, in Ifedi after we released David Questenberry, blows my mind, because there is absolutely nothing he has ever done in the NFL that has proven that he is capable of being a starting right tackle in this league. And I mean, can you imagine when we come up, when it's going to be him against Micah Parsons, when we play the Cowboys defense, he's going to eat him alive. I do not understand how a man that big can get shoved around so easily. He may as well have been credited with two sacks on Josh Allen, because he basically took him down, because he's been shoved into him quite so easily. I don't understand how that man is, not only how he's starting, but how he's even on our roster. Blows my mind.
Yeah, I think the same.
We were talking about positives, weren't we?
Pass rush was pretty good.
The pass rush was good.
Taking ankles.
Yeah.
And obviously Matt Milano.
Played very well.
And I'd say even Benford actually had a good game for a sixth round pick. I mean, that tackle on Breece Hall.
It was his tackle from the million yard run, wasn't it? That was a slow motion car crash, wasn't it?
Good to see our run defense is loads better, eh?
Well, you say that as I pull my stats out. Yes, two attempts for 109 yards, but the remainder was 26 attempts for 63. So I know you can't take two stats out, but my mindless optimism is willing to say, all right, a couple of those are a week one thing, but one of them was a lineup one, wasn't it? Because the Jets were in 13 and they didn't align well enough, which is one of those sort of week one things. You give up one play. Apart from that, they were 2.5 yards a carry. I think that was all right.
I mean, he reached a top speed of 21.6 miles per hour to stop Breece Hall. And this is a Breece Hall that ran a 4.39 and Benford ran a 4.53. 40, okay, Ball's come back from a massive ACL injury, but it shows that there is, that they do have the talent, the eye for talent, because I say, it's a sixth round pick, Johnson was a sixth round pick on there, so they're getting stuff on there, and even Bernard had a decent game. He didn't have a stellar game.
He started
game.
A bit slow. He had a slightly couple of iffy plays early on, but I thought he actually settled down and he was all right later on. Picked up a few decent tackles.
So there was actually positives from it. And I mean, I'm hoping that we can actually really wrap that up and actually and move on to the preview. I just want to go through, on Monday night, I actually did ask people for their opinions on the game.
Oh, excellent. Some well-considered, level-headed, sober, judicious.
Not at all tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4:20 a.m., you cunts. Yeah. All right, here we go.
Let's have a look.
Oh, man, what do the good people have to say?
Let's have a look. Where are we? Not there. It is... there we go.
Can't read that one.
That's too much positivity.
That's not making me edit.
Got one from Sax Dave on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, saying, personally, I'm done with the we need to be better, we need to be perform, execute, Josh. Josh saying it on him, etc. Need to see growth and not just talk about it. Pointless turnovers, lost us the game against Zach Wilson! !!
Yep.
Batman. Josh has shown phenomenal growth, but needs to solve the turnovers.
Yeah.
Next one was from Buffalo_Tractor. He goes, this just feels like one big recurring theme since Dable left, that Josh seems to occasionally perform in spite of the ridiculous skill or luck, but far too often we look lost. Such a massive drop off from where we were in January 2022.
Yep.
Yeah. Not not Subutai, call him Simon, because that's what it's put on there. It says, agreed that it's on Josh. Sure, their defence was tough, but he kept making poor choices. I think he relaxed second half with no Rodgers and how poor the Jets' offence was. And then the underscore Jack Bennett's got to be on Josh for that. And I just don't know how we just imploded. And I asked the question, we've imploded. What the hell's happened? Megan24XO goes, offensive play calling / Josh Allen need a conversation. Crazier things have happened, but I think we just got spoiled by the Rams opener last season, where we actually did well.
Yeah.
One guy goes, no clue why we imploded. No clue.
Well, I think we know why we imploded. The issue is why it happened.
Yeah, and how do we stop it happening again?
And how do we stop it happening again? It feels like that point about the end of January 2021 or whatever it was, or 2022. You look back to that Chiefs, albeit a loss, but I mean, Josh Allen looked like he was absolutely incredible in that game. And then we had the first 4 or 5 weeks of the regular season last season, and it felt like it was a good continuation of that. The defense was struggling in letting teams back in, but we were offensively still performing. But then it seemed to, I can't remember what game it was, but we got to a game and we started, like, offensively, we looked really poor. And we've just never recovered from it. We've never got better. As we, like, the few games that we're getting through, we're struggling to get through. We haven't put a full, complete 60 minutes of an offer. It was after the Kansas City game. We won Kansas City away last season, went to the bye, and then after that, we were awful offensively. And we haven't put a four quarters together of an offensive display since then, where we've solid throughout.
Didn't even do it against the Packers. We had a good first half against the Packers and kind of hung on.
And then fell apart. Yeah,
it's Jets, those Vikings, Lions, Browns. Yeah.
There's one Patriots, where you could say that we were, like, where we were that team that looked like, you know, like the Bengals looked towards the end of last season. There was nothing like that from us after the bye last season. It's I'd love to know what's gone on. What's going on in that team that means if the offense doesn't click, this team doesn't click. And
I think the next.
Well, I mean, it has been one game. Let's see what.
But that's my point. I think that's my point. It's not one game, is it? This is a continuation of a theme from last season.
This is a symptom of a larger malaise, yes. But
I wouldn't care if we've been brilliant. If we were brilliant last season, at the end of last season, we went out and we were playing well. You go into this game and you think, fair enough, it's just like Josh got caught up in the occasion, week one, offensive not quite clicking, blah, 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 and you'd let him off. But it's because we've seen this before. We've seen this before last season, and it feels like more of the same. I mean, we've got to be better against the Raiders, right?
Well, that leads us perfectly into the preview, doesn't it? I mean, you hear about, like, get right games, and let's go and what did we do? What did we do after we lost to the Steelers in the 2021 season and played bloody awful? I mean, a good first half and fell apart in the second, lost 23-16. Anyone remember?
Yeah, we came back and we actually completely smashed it in the next game. And that's what's happened on most of the games where we've had stuff like this Jets game, that Steelers game, that bad loss. And then the next week, we seem to turn it around, smash whoever we're playing, and then go on a run and then try and build that momentum up. I mean, as they always said,
you need a confidence, and the whole momentum obviously flows both ways. The Jets started getting it, and we started losing it. We can start picking it up again, then you get a bit more confidence. Confidence is the key to most. It's key to almost everything. I mean, what did the Raiders got past the Broncos, didn't they, last week? I remember rightly.
Yes. Poorly, though.
They didn't look brilliant in doing
they weren't. They weren't that good. They're a kind of good team to play now because they're you know, a good friend of mine's a Raiders fan and he's permanently tearing his hair out at how they are. They're again, they're one of those teams that can beat anyone on their day, but there's no one they can't lose to. So. Mm.
Yeah,
you just the Bills get have a good huddle and have a good clearing of the air and just come in and
Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't strike me as the type of person that is going to cause our defense. He was efficient last game, 20 of 26, but it was nothing that was too dangerous. Jacoby Myers is going to be the interesting one because he likes throwing him the ball. He's got history of him at the Patriots. Looking like there's a chance Devontae Adams might be out injured, which is probably no bad
They've
thing
got
for
a long
us.
Injury list, haven't they?
Long old injury list. But Jacoby Myers, nine receptions for 81 yards and two touchdowns. He's going to be someone that you never thought was going to be a massive weapon. I'd like to think that our defensive backs should have more than enough for him. I'm more concerned about Josh Jacobs. Who didn't have a fantastically stellar game in this one. I think his long was only 7 yards. But if anyone can find a way of running through our rush defense, it's probably someone who was the rushing leader last season. So we'll see. That's more my concern about Matt them. I think
their injury report.
Oh, I'll be joining you on the barricades, Mark. If we lose this one, I will be officially mad. I try and sort of think wider context. Do you think Bengals fans are shitting themselves at the moment with Burrow throwing for 82 yards, or are they saying, "Oh, you know, we always start slow, we always start 2-2"? You know, they play the Ravens, don't they, on Sunday? They could
be 0-2.
Ravens
are
a decent team this year. I mean, they're always pretty good, but they could be 0-2. Bengals could be 0-2.
I think for me, the Bengals have got more reason to be like thinking that this is more of a week one blip than we do, in that they've, you know, they were playing away at someone who is a good side. They weren't playing against a backup quarterback that we've already known is a struggling entity. And they don't have the evidence of it from last season.
Who still only scored 16 points in four quarters.
They did. Oh, yeah, they didn't.
Our problems were against their defense and our own offense, you know, shooting ourselves in the foot.
But the thing of the Bengals quarter is the fact that they don't have the history of it from last season. They finished the season on a high, like looking like they were playing really good football, destroyed us. And it was smashing it down in Cleveland as well, which probably didn't help the way that they were playing. So, no, I don't think they're worrying in the same way that we are. And
I think I'm looking at the injury report on there. Obviously, Adams did not practice on the Wednesday, but was full practice today with a foot. Okay. Myers has actually not practiced the last 2 days because of the concussion.
Interesting. Okay, that'll help.
And Garoppolo's dealing with an ankle injury, was limited on Wednesday, full on Thursday. Chandler Jones is a personal issue, but he hasn't practiced Wednesday or Thursday either. And that's the one thing that I would actually bring up that we need to sort out. It's obviously Spencer Brown most likely going to be up against Max Crosby.
Yay!
Well, or anyone, really.
Yeah, or, you know, me. Yeah. I could be starting like left end. It wouldn't make any difference.
Yeah.
But I think
I really hope to be all right, but it's, yeah.
To be honest, there is nothing that's this is probably going to be bookmarked on here. There's nothing that scares me about this Raiders team that makes me think that we're going to have a Jets 2.0.
We shouldn't lose. We really shouldn't. No. I don't think it's a dangerous team that could, like a Dolphins or something like that. I think this is a team we should beat by two scores.
The only thing that concerns me slightly about them is the fact that the Raiders are, you know, they're kind of a bit of an old school. They'll play smash mouth football. They'll try and run the ball between the tackles, and that's the way they're going to set up. if we desperately try and play kind of nickel 80% of snaps or three safety sets, we had our, like, after our front four, our linebacker core is very small in comparison to normal linebacker core, because we're playing, you know, quite a lot of the time we're playing Taylor Rapp as our middle linebacker, and it didn't work in my opinion. We're very, very small in that position. So if we keep trying that and they're just running the ball up the gut and we do let them through, that's, for me, that's the only place that I can see us causing them any problems.
I think we may see Kirksey.
I hope so.
Get called up for this one.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I hope
so. How long has he had to learn the system? 2 weeks?
Well, he's probably he's already better than Spencer Brown then.
yeah, he's probably been the right tackle.
But the stuff that I want to see on there, I want to see more variety on who receives the ball, and actually a bit more of that. Because, I mean, my prediction of Kincaid getting close to 100 was actually about 70 yards off or something like that, I think. what did he go for? He went for, 70. He was about 74 yards off what I thought he would actually get on there. But
I thought he looked all right, though.
I thought he looked fine.
But, I mean, what I want to see is a bit more variety, because, I mean, looking at the snap counts and the reception counts from the receivers against Jets, Stephon Diggs, 10 receptions. Gabe Davis, 2 receptions. Dalton Kincaid, 4 receptions. Dawson Knox, 3 receptions. James Cook, 4 receptions. Damian Harris, 2 receptions. Harty, 3 receptions. Murray, 1 reception. I don't know whether it was designed or just because Diggs got open so much that he was targeted that much, but I think that's what we need to see a bit more in this offense, is more involvement from the other wide receivers and the other receiving rooms in there, because you take away Diggs, we probably would not have scored those 16 points.
It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because, yes, I get that you need to spread the ball around more, but you've only got so many throws to make. And Diggs is your best receiver. He's your best weapon. He's probably your best player outside of Josh Allen. He's the best route runner we've got by a million miles. So if he's going to be the one that gets open, like, I personally, I don't care if we throw him the ball every single time. If he's open, you know, good. And he makes the play, chucking the ball. I don't care. I would quite happily not throw the ball to Deontay Harty at all. But for me, it needs to be whoever's in the best position to make the play. And so long as we're not forcing it into Diggs when there's no reason to, I've got no problem throwing him the ball 10, 15 times a game. Fine. Because if anyone's going to do it, it'll be him.
Yeah.
That you've only got so many snaps to go around. You can't keep every single player happy.
Oh, yeah. I
think the spread wasn't too bad in this game. I think that everyone got their opportunities. I think it was everyone except maybe Trent Sherfield didn't get a target. But that's the way it goes sometimes. Dallas Goedert only got one target, and he's probably the Eagles' best receiver, or one of the most talented receivers that they've got. And he got targeted once in their game against the Patriots, I think it was, or whoever they were playing. I'm fine with him throwing the ball to Josh. I've not got an issue with it. Long may it continue, so long as it's the right option.
I mean, that's what I want. I want to see it, even if it's just throwing it to Diggs and all that. I also want to see more variety in the pass types, as we discussed. It's more from the shotgun. Let's get a few under centers. Let's get a few play actions. The one thing I want him to continue doing is actually feeding James Cook, because even though he only gained 46 yards in that game, the snap count for that was James Cook 12. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Josh Allen got 6, mainly on the scrambles. Then Murray was 2 receptions. Harty 1 on the screen, I guess. and Damien Harris was one. So they've looked at James Cook and now making him deep factory number one, and they've got to keep it with that and not change that at all.
Yeah.
And it's just shoring up this run defense. I think with Floyd making an impression, obviously
he was definitely positive. I thought he looked very good.
Yeah, he was good.
I think the pass rushing ability is there. I mean, Ed Oliver made some plays. Okay, the stat line doesn't show any shows half a sack, but 3 tackles, 2 assisted tackles.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at that defensive line. Everyone had some sort of involvement in there.
Yeah.
But with this, what they really need to see is that step up and just seeing more from Christian Benford, because he's a guy that I think he shackled when he was on Garrett Wilson. He shackled him.
Yep.
The only time that Wilson scored that touchdown was against Trey White.
Yeah, and it was
a
blinder of a catch as well. It was an absolute highlight
reel. Oh, yeah,
it was a
exactly.
David Tyree type catch, wasn't it? It was just, you know, crazy good.
But you've got a Raiders team which, outside of Adams and Myers, if he plays, I'm talking more like receiving. I'm going to class Josh Jacobs more as the just a running back rather than receiver. Outside Adams, if they don't have Myers, who else have they really got to stretch that defense, or especially the secondary? So,
yeah, no.
It's a game where we shouldn't be losing, and a game which I feel that we take that motivation and actually get our season back up and running. Because if not, we're going to have Dolphin fans talking shit for us at least till the Miami game. Because they've got to play the Patriots.
Yeah, they've got to play the Patriots. That could be an interesting game. So long as we take care of our own business, get them off the field and stay on the field when they're there, then yeah. It should be a 27-17, something like that. I'll take that.
Yeah,
all the divisional ones are all that's I think a lot where the thing, same for the AFC North. That's where the winner's gonna be determined. How many wins can the Patriots pick off other teams?
Yeah.
It's
their team is a just jump back onto the Raiders. I feel like their team is a bit of a it's a bit of a hodgepodge of rejects from other sides. I think their starting right guard is Greg Van Rotten, who obviously couldn't make our
roster. I remember him. So there's
a lot that's in there that isn't fantastic, but they do still have, if Chandler Jones is in, they've still got Max Crosby. They do still have some weapons that I think are good, but I'm not concerned by Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not overly concerned by their offensive line. This is a game when you look at it as the home opener. This needs to be an absolute banker of a win, regardless of what went on in week one. This needs to be a get right game where Josh comes out, performs, and I'd like to see us wipe the floor. We need to.
Yeah.
If we do, then it's kind of, not all's forgiven. But okay, we're 1-1. Season's off and running. We need to win the next two now. I remember I think we all said that we'd be 3-1 after the first 4 weeks. So if we end up 3-1, then you forget about the Jets game. You think, ho hum, as it turns out that you may have won the game, Jets, but you've lost the war because your quarterback's gone. So it's jolly good for you, but you're not a contender anymore. We need to be judging ourselves against the Dolphins at the moment.
Yeah, no stupid mistakes from Josh. Hopefully, no turnovers. And like you say, then you can walk off the field and think, see, you can do it.
Yeah,
you can win a game just playing within yourself. That's fine. Let's build on that. Get another win against Washington. Starts to put into the rearview mirror.
So I'll ask you this question: what do you want to see in the Raiders game, and what's the prediction going to be?
I think, well, ideally, no turnovers and no sacks allowed, hopefully. And 28, maybe load up the right side of the offensive line with, put a six lineman on, or do whatever you have to. 20, and I'm going to say, 27-17.
Mark.
It's better decisions, no turnovers. I think that's where we need to see this. I want Josh not fumbling the ball away, not throwing the ball away in silly situations, playing sensible, mistake-free football. 34-10.
Cool.
Okay. I've said what I wanted to see, more variety on the offensive of the offensive plays on there. I just can't see the, I can't even see the Raiders just barely getting to double figures. So I'm going for 31-10 on that. And the one thing, obviously, what you mentioned about the fumble, all that, the one thing that made me laugh was Mark Sanchez. I think he came up and actually ridiculed Josh Allen for that fumble, and yet I don't know if he remembers. He's butt fumbler.
Yeah.
How he can actually...
Well, that's what he was doing, isn't it? He was taking the piss out of himself more than anything, I think. Because I think the message was, look, someone's run into their own player and fumbled the ball. Interesting. because he's been there and done it. So, yeah, I think he was more ribbing himself.
I think one of the last bit I'm going to leave on is, obviously, if you've heard and seen it on there, LeSean McCoy and his defense of Josh Allen. No, I think even though he made... You're not seeing it yet?
No.
You think it's... Because he still defends him. He still has him as a top three quarterback. His opinion of him hasn't changed. And he said the one thing that Josh Allen does is win games. I think since, what was he now? He's like 32 and 34 and 12.
Yeah, 37 and 12 was the one I'd heard last couple of years.
So it's not like he deliberately goes out and loses games. Okay, there is turnover and all that, but he's a guy that he'll put a heart on the sleeve, but the national media just want to bury him. I mean, we've seen more of that than we have of Joe Burrow being benched and thrown for less than 100 yards.
That was bad. That was bad. He had a shocker.
I think that was like the benching. I don't think that's not like a... Oh, you're being benched because you've been awful. I think that's just this is not a day. Let's take you out of the firing line. Let's make sure you don't get injured. Let's get ready and go for week two because we're writing this game off as a bad day in the office. I would expect any team that was in that situation, whether it's Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, would have done the exact same thing. I don't think the Bengals helped themselves by like calling the Cleveland Browns all the names under the sun in the run up to the game. Just so that they can motivate an already very good defense any further. That was a bit silly. And we all know that the Bengals are fairly self-entitled pricks anyway. So it's I don't mind that they got smashed in the mouth a little bit. I'm kind of here for it.
It was quite funny. Yeah,
it was.
just after Burrow got all his money as well, which is always, again, it's just, that made things a bit awkward.
And I know that there's this dynamic fact that, you know, where we lost to the Jets, but at least the Chiefs lost and at least the Bengals lost. So it's not cost us anything in that way, but we could have been two games ahead of them already.
Yeah.
We could have been had that advantage. If it comes down to assuming the season goes the way that we all want it to, we could have had that advantage in the seedings races already. And who knows come the end of the season, how crucial that's going to be. If we're talking about, you know, home field advantage, first seeds potentially, or, you know, even making the playoffs based on how good the Dolphins look like they might be. Who knows how crucial that defeat might end up being? Hopefully not.
Exactly. But at least this week we get a 6 p.m. game.
Yeah.
No early morning starts. Mm-hmm. And no, my Skybox actually decided to actually restart itself in overtime. So technically, I'm kind of glad I actually did at the end after all that. But we get a 6 p.m. one. Obviously, keep following us on all the socials. You've got Mark's socials, Robert's socials, my socials, UK Bills, podcast, Twitter. Just keep following, liking, subscribing. And all I can say is for Mark, Robin, myself, Matt, is good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. Huh? That's who we are. Bills on three. One, two, three.